Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Get to see all the students here this morning and our graduating seniors. And there's just such a life and an energy that comes from our youth and our students. So I was just very blessed in worship being led by the next generation. So I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. Yeah. Well, you may have remembered from previous weeks, or if this is your first time here at Trinity, Paul, in this section, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to turn there. Our verses will be verse 9, or 17 through 19 in Ephesians chapter 3. And at this section, Paul is praying for the Ephesians to be strengthened in their souls, in their inner beings. Now, this strengthening comes from Christ dwelling in their hearts. And as Pastor Jason explained last week, Jesus' authority and his jurisdiction covers every inch of our lives as believers. And as we surrender more and more to Jesus, we submit ourselves to him, and more of our hearts are available to him. Now, this week, Paul highlights just how Christ dwells in our hearts through God strengthening us to know the love of Christ. And my goal for this sermon is that may God's love in Christ so fill you up that you are rooted, grounded, mature, and unshaken by whatever this world throws at you. So let's dive into God's word. My lovely daughter already read the verse, so hopefully you got it when she read it. I'm so proud of her. But as you look at the verse, verses 17 through 19, Paul talks about the effects of knowing Jesus and knowing his love in verse 17, that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. And then he moves on into verse 18 and the beginning of verse 19, to talk about this great love of Christ. And that in order to comprehend it, you can't do it on your own, but you need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, he ends verse 19 by talking about the goal of the love of Christ. The goal is being built up and being mature. So we're gonna jump around a little bit. We're gonna start in verses 18 and do a little bit of 19. And then move on to 17 and finish in 19. So Paul wants his readers to know what surpasses knowledge, the love of Christ. Now, I say this tongue-in-cheek, like the idea of knowing what's kind of unknowable fully. Like you can know the love of Christ, but he says it surpasses knowledge. And the truth is, you can't fully know the love of Christ unless you are connected to the Holy Spirit. In this section, Paul is asking them to that God would open up their hearts to comprehend the love of Christ. Now, this word for strengthen means to have strength in order to prevail. And the word here for comprehend means to lay hold of something in your mind, to wrap your mind around it. And together with strengthen and comprehend, it means to understand the scriptures in such a way that it breaks through just the mental understanding of it, but affects your heart, your desires, and then also your will. I remember one of my favorite times as a youth pastor experiencing one of these breakthroughs happen in one of my students. Now, we were studying the attributes of God. And we were studying kind of the classic ones. You know, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is all-present everywhere. And we were walking through that, and that was pretty common. And then we started talking about how God doesn't change, that he is immutable. And I remember going over this with the students, and one of my students, his eyes just lit up, and he finally realized that God doesn't change. God is constant. And it was in the middle of COVID. It was a time where he didn't know if he was going back to school, if he was playing sports or not playing sports. But as we went through this study, he realized that he could bank on God's character. He said, I had no idea that God never changed. And this just brings such a root and an anchor in my soul when I don't even know what my next week is going to look like. That's the breakthroughs that Paul is talking about here, that we would understand and have strength to understand that our lives would be changed. And the truth is, this love of Christ is so great and so vast that you can't fit it into your 3-pound brain. You just can't. It is so wonderful, so magnificent that you need to be connected to Christ through the Holy Spirit to understand. So now I have this great, glorious, insurmountable task to explain what truly can't be explained, the love of God in Christ. But Lord, I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to do my best. You've called me to preach this today, and I need your help. I need your help that everyone here would have their eyes enlightened and their hearts enlightened to this. And I just know I'm not going to do it justice, but God's going to open up our hearts to have strength in this love. So let's dive into this love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. So let's start with 1 John 4:10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So the love of God starts with the Father sending his son into the world. And the son is what is most precious to the Father. When Jesus was baptized, the Father said, "This is my beloved son." The Father doesn't send us just his scraps, just half-heartedly committed to us. He sends us his best. He sends us his only son. And the son receives this charge from the Father gladly. He's glad about it. He's ready and excited to fulfill the Father's will. And Hebrews says, "For the joy that set before him, he endured the cross." In love, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, to take the punishment that you deserved. So Paul wants us to know, what is the breadth, the width of the love of Christ? How wide is the love of Christ? Well, what does the Bible say? Psalm 103, verses 12 through 13 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him." The width of the love of God, as far as the east is from the west. This is how far he removes your sin. And in a world that is unforgiving, that you always have your digital record on you, someone could look up anything, you could mess up, and guess what? You're canceled. You're cast aside. This is not what the love of God is like. The love of God says a different word. The love of God says that all your sin can be removed. It can be cleansed. It can be cast utterly from you. And with his death on the cross, Jesus gives us a clean slate. Things that happened in your past and things that you did in the past doesn't have to be your future. That's what the love of Christ says. That's how wide it is. Now, Paul wants us to understand the length of the love of God. And maybe you think a little bit how I thought as before I was a Christian. I thought, okay, Jesus covers my past, and now I go and I take communion, and then I go to church, and then I'm going to try better next week. I'm going to try harder. But then you screw up, and you fall into the same patterns. And the question is, how long is the love of God? How long is it? Well, what does the Bible say? Jeremiah 31:3 says, "God loves his people with an everlasting love." God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." And John also describes the length of the love of God found in Christ. John writes, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." The love of Christ is an everlasting love. Christ loves you into eternity. There is no end to the love of Christ. You don't have to try harder tomorrow to pick up yourself by your bootstraps. You are forgiven yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All your sins are covered by the love of Christ. And there's nothing you can do to make Jesus stop loving you. His love lasts forever. And isn't that good news? That he will carry you with an everlasting love? No matter what happens, Jesus is going to carry you. He's going to bring you to heaven. You're going to make it, Christian. You're going to make it. There's nothing that can stop God's love, and it continues on forever. So one of the questions that pops up when you start talking about the everlasting love of God is, you know, can I just do whatever I want? You know, I'm going to receive Jesus as my Savior, and then I'm just going to go do whatever I want. And the answer, of course, is absolutely not. Absolutely not. And the reason why is the love of God is powerful. The love of God changes you. And then people kind of fire back and they'll say, hey, well, I'm not a robot. I'm not a robot. I can't be controlled. And it's true. None of us are robots. I hope at least none of us are robots. That would be creepy. But none of us are robots. And yet you are human. You're human. And just the way your body responds to certain things, the same way your soul responds to certain things. When you get dehydrated and thirsty, let's say you have to go to the hospital and get an IV, well, you get an IV and you get hydrated. Your body responds. It absorbs what's being put into it. Same thing if you're hungry and you're starving and someone gives you a nice grilled, juicy steak. It's going to nourish you. It's going to taste good. Especially in the summertime. I love steak. And then, you know, like, it's the same way in the negative way. If you come to Cindy's party next week and you have 10 pieces of cake, you're going to feel sick. You're not going to feel good. And the truth is your body responds. It responds to what's put in it. And the same way with your soul. If the love of Christ is poured out on your soul, your soul will respond. You will change. You can't stay the same. And that's good news. Because if it was up to us, we would all wander away. But God sends his only son into the world, and he is the good shepherd, always leaving the 99 to bring us back when we wander. And that's good news, and that's the length of the love of God. What about the height? What about the height of the love of God? Let's go back to Psalm 103 again, verse 11. For as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. His love is so high, it lifts you up to places you don't deserve. It brings you into God's courtroom. Ephesians 2, chapter 1, verse 6 says, he has raised us up with Jesus and has seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. God has given you a place in his throne room that you don't deserve to be at. But God has given you a place so that you can approach the Father in boldness and confidence, making your requests to him. And your spot is saved in God's throne room. That whether Jesus comes to you or you go to Jesus, that spot is saved. And that is the height of the love of God, lifting you up to places you don't deserve. But God is so gracious to us. Well, what about the depth? What about the depth of the love of God? How deep is the love of God in Christ? Well, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, that while we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. So the love of God is so deep in Christ that God reaches down to us and saves us, calls us out of the grave. He saves us from hell. He snatches us from the pit. On the cross, Jesus took the punishment we deserved. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. This is the great love and the depth of the love of Christ, that Christ was willing to go to pain and suffering and go through all the hell that you would experience and took that on a Friday afternoon on the cross. And his, because of the nature of who he is, absorbed all that for you. This is the depth of the love of God. So how do we respond? What does Paul want from us? And the truth is, every day, we need to fill our minds with this love of God. And we need to ask God to send the Holy Spirit to fill us up with this love, because we don't understand it on our own. We naturally push away the love of Christ. You say to God, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm Minnesota nice. You know, I open the door for people. I let people go ahead of me in traffic. I'm a nice person. And saying, I don't need the love of Christ, but I'm good, I'm fine, I'm just fine the way I am, is like a farmer who farms on the Nile River. If you've ever seen Egypt from a satellite, there's just this tiny river, or I mean, it's not tiny, but you have the river Nile going through Egypt, and on all sides, you have these different farms. But on both sides of that, it's just sheer desert. And saying, like, I'm a nice person, like, I can make it on my own love, on my own strength, and just being a nice person and loving people, is being like a farmer on the edge of the Nile, saying, I don't need the Nile. I don't need it at all. Everything is great up here on the bank. I am self-sufficient. But the truth is, if the Nile wasn't there, all that would be absolutely desert. And the same thing is true right here on earth. If there was no love of Christ, if there wasn't the common grace of Christ, the earth would be completely different, and there would be no grace, no love, no kindness, because all that flows from this magnificent love of Jesus. And the question is are you going to reject it or not? Are we going to dwell on this or not? This is the love of God revealed in Christ. And we need to accept God's love in Christ and dwell on it. And as we think on this love and sit on it and think about the height and the depth and the width and the length, everything in this world will seem so much less a big deal. In a world that is struggling with wanting likes and shares and just general affirmation, the affirmation of this world will feel like nothing compared to the love of Christ. And that's where Paul moves in verse 17. He defines rooted and grounded, saying you should be rooted and grounded in this love. Now, the word rooted here means to be like a tree that has extensive roots. And both rooted and grounded are passive verbs in this section, meaning it is God who's doing the rooting. It's the God who's doing the grounding. And the idea of being rooted like a tree that's steadfast and unshakable is what Paul's getting at. Your life will be like that. I remember one time I had a nice encounter with a tree that was well rooted. It was it was in January, and it was really dark because it was like, I don't know. It's always dark in January. It was in the morning, but there was no sun, and I didn't see the black ice, and the road went this way, and I did not go that way. I just went straight, right into a well-rooted and grounded tree. And even though my car weighed 4,000 pounds, probably four times as much as this tree, the tree did not move, and my car was in shambles. That's what it means to be rooted and grounded. And that's what Paul wants these believers to be like, a tree that's on, doesn't matter what storm comes through, it is rooted, it is grounded, it's not going anywhere. And the idea here for being grounded is the idea of being stable. Stable, resilient, steadfast. And when it comes to your heart, God is the one who's able to make you resilient, unshaken by what this world throws at you. Now, in this service, we've prayed. We prayed for our mission trip, and we just had a new pastor come on staff. His name is Jeff Peel, and he just has a great outlook on life. He used to be a former youth pastor, and he would pray not that everything would go well and they would make it safely, but he would pray that the bus would break down on the way to their trip. And that just shocked me as a youth, like a former youth pastor too. But his idea was, is there's such good opportunities. If God wants us to break down and interact with people and, you know, be able to share who they were and where they were going, he's like, Lord, may it be so. And I think when I think about this idea of being rooted and grounded in love, especially if I can talk to the students here right now, there's so much pressure for you guys, more than when I graduated high school, in having the right plan and doing the right thing and trying to make sure that if you go to school, it leads to a profession and you get it all right along the way. And it's true because, you know, school tuition has raised at like this rate, and then salaries after you're done with school is still like this, and there's like five times the amount between the rates. Like it's a big pressure decision. And I feel for you guys. But I think what this verse is saying is that if you hold on to the love of Christ, even hiccups in your plans, bumps in your plans, even U-turns in your plans will not break you, but the being rooted and grounded in God's love, you won't be shaken. Because in Christ, in his love, you'll be like that tree that encountered my car. You'll be rooted. You won't be deterred. And the truth is, in Christ, you're not fragile. You're resilient. And so, kids, students, I just hope that you hold on to that. And I think Romans 8:38 says this. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor the things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when those hiccups and those bumps come, slow down and say, you know, what's God teaching me in this moment? What's God trying to teach me? And for all of us, if there's something that comes up and something that rocks us and shakes us and messes up our plan, we need to slow down and say, God, what are you teaching me here? Are you opening up the door for me to interact with somebody new? Are you opening up the door for me to share my faith? Is there some area in my life that you're working on, that you're shaping me and molding me? And you see that God has a goal in everything in our life. Nothing is haphazard. Nothing is random. God uses it all for his purposes. And if we look here at the end of verse 19, we see that God has a goal. We see his goal is us knowing the love of Christ, is he wants us to be filled up with Christ's love in order to become mature. So the verse says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that's a little bit of a weird phrase. We don't use the word fullness like that usually in our own context. But the word fullness means this goes is used in the context of a ship that he's using here. A ship that is full of cargo and full of sailors ready to take off. And the idea is that all of us are a container for Christ, to be filled up with the love of Christ as we go about our journey. Departing, showing the love of Christ to others. In Ephesians 1:22-23, Paul talks about this fullness. And he talks about it in relationship to the church. He says he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul's saying here is the main vehicle that God displays the love of Christ in the world is through the local church. The church is his bride. Jesus is committed to the local church. And the church is organized and shows up tangibly in the local church. And so Jesus didn't die for a bunch of zillion, like million, billion, Lone Ranger Christians. He died for his bride. He died to bind us together in a loving community, which goes beyond age groups, goes beyond ethnicities, goes beyond time. This is the church. And if I could talk to the students, I would just encourage you to get connected to a local church. I worked in college ministry and worked with college students, and that was absolutely fantastic. And it was a glorious time working with college students, and I came to know the Lord through a college ministry. But it didn't replace the local church, because in the local church, you have all generations together and the wisdom and the joy that comes with that. And God gives us a family so that we can grow. And when we are young, we have a family so we can grow up. Same thing as a family of believers helps you grow. So I just encourage the students, if you depart or if you stay here, stay connected to a local body. And that's his other use of the word fullness. In Ephesians 4:13, he talks about being fully mature in Christ. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's what God's goal is maturity. And when I'm talking maturity, I don't mean like natural maturity. Our goal that God gives us in being mature doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come from just life experiences and even doing things well throughout your life. It can only come through being connected to Christ through the Holy Spirit, because you can't grow mature on your own. You need to trust the Lord and pray that he would give you the strength that he's talking about in this chapter. I know a man once who, on the outside, he seemed very mature, very wise. He was a key role in a school district, and he had a high role in that district. On the outside, it looked like he was doing everything well, and he would walk in a room, and everyone would listen. But as he stepped down from that position, you really started to see in his life that he had earthly wisdom. He had earthly leadership, and he really struggled to lead in his family, to lead himself, and to lead others around him in God's word and in the kingdom of God. And so it just goes to show that it doesn't matter your age, where you're at with Christian maturity. We all need to pursue Christian maturity. Pursue the love of Christ. Dwell on these things. And we all need it, because the truth is none of us have arrived yet. None of us have arrived to full maturity. We all need to keep pressing into it more and more. So how do we do that? We dwell in the love of Christ and let it saturate your soul until you have that breakthrough. Think about the width of the love of Christ, that as far as the east is from the west, the Lord loves you and casts your sins apart, casts them far from you. Think about how high the love of Christ is, that it lifts you up to places you deserve, gives you a place with the Father that you can come before the Father in prayer. Think about how deep the love is of Christ, that he reaches down and snatches you from the pit, that he takes all the sin that you committed, the punishment of that on the cross. Think about the great love and the depth of Christ. And I saved the length for last. The length of the love of Christ. And the good news is, though we all need to grow in maturity, we all need to press more into this love of Christ. The good news is God doesn't love you any more, less or more than yesterday, than today. You can't make God love you any less or any more. The love of God is constant. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. So let's press into that love as we pursue Christian maturity and shine his light to those around us. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for sending your Son, that he is just the expression, the highlight, the jewel of your great love. Help us to not stay where we're at, but to dwell more in that great love. And we pray, Father, that you would give us strength in our hearts and our souls to comprehend, which is beyond knowledge. We are so weak and we're so finite, but we want more of Christ. We want more of him to dwell in our hearts. Lord, please help us to be a people who want to be filled more and more with this love, that we would be able to shine the glory of Christ as a church and as a body to those around us. As we are filled with your fullness, help us to pursue maturity, knowing that one day we will be complete, whether we go to you or you come to us. We pray that we would continue to grow. And we're so thankful that you continue to work in our hearts, that you don't forsake us, but you walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen.